back, everybody. It's a sight to the blind. Sorry I did not post yesterday. I wasn't in the spirit to post because all of my shows is based on the Ruach HaKodesh. If I don't feel moved to post, I will not post. I'm not going to ramble on and on and on and on if I'm not feeling the spirit to actually teach and show you the word or show you what things are going on in this world. What I'm going to do maybe in the next couple of months, if it be meet with you guys, is I'm going to have a raffle. Well, I'm going to pick a number between 1 and 100, and I'm going to ask you to email me. Or those who want to participate, email me to see how close you can get to this number. And me and you, whoever's the winner at the end of the week, me and you can set up a Zoom call where I interview you. Because I want to hear from you. I can tell you 100 different things and 100 different symbolism and numerology and scriptures, but I want to know where my listeners are at in their walk. So I'm going to try to do this in the next 2 months or so. And then if it works out, I'll continue to do it. But I would like to talk and have a real conversation with you guys for an hour or for 30 minutes, whatever your time allots you. So I think that's going to be cool to do if you guys are into it. Most importantly, let's talk about the fast of the fifth month. We are at the fifth month. This is still the beginning of the fifth month, so you have time, if you haven't done this already, that you should be fasting. And I'm going to point out to you scripture, Zechariahu, which is Zechariah 8:19. But I'm going to read to you the entire verse, the entire chapter, not the entire chapter, but up until the 19th verse. Again, the word of Yahuwah Sabaoth came to me saying, thus says Yahuwah Sabaoth, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus says Yahuwah, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim shall be called a city of truth and the mountain of Yahuwah Sabaoth, the holy mountain. Thus says Yahuwah Sabaoth, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Yerushalayim, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus says Yahuwah Sabaoth, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in my eyes, says Yahuwah Sabaoth. Thus says Yahuwah Sabaoth, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Yerushalayim, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim in truth and in righteousness. Thus says Yahuwah Sabaoth, let your hand be strong, and yet that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of Yahuwah was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, everyone, against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the remnant of this people as in the former days, says Yahuwah Sabaoth. What do you think he means by, but now I will not be unto the remnant of this people as in the former days, which means we're not going into captivity anymore. We won't be trodden down. We won't be hung and stretched by our necks. We won't have to put on yokes of iron or fetters on our feet. We will not be manipulated and perverted as we are now in this country and the four directions that we were spread out across this world. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Yehuda and the house of Yasharel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus says Yahuwah Sabaoth, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says Yahuwah, and I repented not. So again, have I thought in these days to dwell unto Yerushalayim and to the house of Yehuda, fear not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says Yahuwah. And the word of Yahuwah Sabaoth came unto me, saying, thus says Yahuwah, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth month, and the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the 10th month shall be to the house of Yehuda joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth and peace. So it is important to the Most High that we indulge ourselves in fasting and in feasts. These are the appointed times. If you want to be grafted in, then this is what you must be doing to be grafted in. So you have until now, it's the end of the month, until the Enochian calendar at the end of the month, not the Gregorian, the Enochian, at the end of the month to have a fast. Now this fast is no food, no water until sundown. That's what it is. And then you can pig out, eat, pardon the pun, but you can eat whatever you want, long as it's clean, you can party, you can have fun. This is what these feasts are. So imagine, instead of Thanksgiving, just like you guys waited all day until 3 o'clock for some reason to eat Thanksgiving food, why can't you wait till all day to sunset to do the same type of Thanksgiving meals and have joy and laughter and peace and love with your family members or those who are awakened to this truth? And even if they're not awakened, y'all guys can start this. You can start your own little thing. It doesn't have to be on a particular day. But in this particular month, you could have a feast. And even the people that you don't know, you could bring them into it and say, why are we doing this? This is why we're doing it. And so you turn them on to scripture. You turn them on to the feast days. And some of you have contacted me about, you know, family members who are still stuck in religion. And so how do you get them to come to your side? This is one of the things you could do. You can show them scripture. It's not like you're making this stuff up. It's in scripture. You're not making this up. So you can show them, hey, this is what we should be doing on this particular month. And if they're unsure about the Gregorian calendar, show them in scripture, which is easy to look up and decipher, 364 days. Type out 364 days in the decipher, then show them all the scriptures of 364 days and how every month is 30 except for the days that are set apart for the seasons. Then show them why this is the easiest way to do it. Because once they see you having fun, once they see the understanding, they'll start feeling that ruach. They'll start feeling thirsty for this knowledge and understanding. It's the best. For me, the best way to do it is go through the feast days. This is how you awaken people, because people think the Most High is rigid. He's no fun. It's all about laws. It's all about rules. You can't do this. You can't do that. But if you show them the joy and peace and love of these feast days and how the Most High really likes to enjoy us having fun in his feast days and his set appointed times, it can be a joy and gladness to people who are not truly awakened. So when they come back next year or they come back the next month, because it's going to be another fast in the 7th month. So when you come back to the 7th month and you say, hey, we're going to have that feast again, you're going to have them coming over your house again. It's on you to prepare the meals, but they're going to want to come to your house again after fasted all day to want to eat. This is how you and your own respective households, if you're the head of the household or if your wife and your husband isn't really turned on to these scriptures, this is how you can do it, ladies, fellas, brothers, dads, mothers, this is how you could do it. It's very simple and easy to do. You just need to know the right way of going about it. But the scriptures is there for you to understand. Another thing, I am impressed and I am blessed that my prayers have been answered as in result of my daughter. My daughter is very easygoing. Well, to give you a perspective, She's a Cancer. In the Gregorian year, she's a Cancer. She's one of those loving Cancer children. Very delicate, very soft, but smart. So I've been praying for her to cleave to me. I've been praying for her to be awakening her spirit, her ruach, to be awakening for more understanding and more knowledge. And the Most High has blessed me with this particular child in knowing how to walk and knowing the understanding that she's thirsting for. So she goes from my house to the other house, her mother's house. And obviously they're not following the law, statutes, commandments, and they only open up scripture. So my daughter right now is going in. She's her first student that she's teaching is her mother, which is it's amazing to me because it's starting at right now. It's starting at flat earth. She's been Googling flat earth. She even found scriptures that have been manipulated in 2 Samuel 11:11 that went from flat earth to just an open field. She's been Googling this. I didn't even realize she knew how to do this already. But she's been Googling flat earth in order to teach her mother about the realization of the firmament, that there's no planets, that there's no space, that there's no UFO and aliens. And she, her first student right now, this 13-year-old child is teaching almost a 40-year-old woman about the realization of scripture and space and time and all. I was blown away because she's telling me these things. She's like, yeah, I showed her this, and she showed me the Hebrew formation of the world, where it's the firmament and Sheol and the foundations and the ice wall and all that. She's been Googling it and having a ball. So she comes to me and say, oh, I want to get this. She looked up this book. I think it was the Hebrew version of Matthew or whatever part of like a separate book of Matthew that she wants to buy. She looked it up on Amazon. She's been looking for it. And now that she helped me with an autograph signing, the guy gave her $40. And now she's going to take that $40 to buy this particular book of Matthew from Amazon. And I'm just blown away that the Most High answered my prayers as it relates to my daughter, because she's really growing spiritually. And that really comes from me making her read. Almost every Shabbat she reads. And I'm talking about for hours to three, 1 hour to 3 hours, she's reading. And this is what you should be doing with your children. You should not let the schools, the public school education, which is a Masonic organization or a Masonic affiliate of education, you should not let them figure it out on themselves within that system. You should be counteracting everything they learn in school with scripture and with the truth. And I always tell my daughter before every school year, I said, learn what they tell you, learn the lies they tell you to get good grades, but never believe in it. I tell her to learn it, but don't believe in it. And then everything she learns, I ask her about, and I say, well, this is what they're lying about. Well, this is why we only learn European history or Roman culture. I counteract all that. And that's what you should be doing as parents. We should be trying to make sure they don't go into the ignorance that we just came out of. And some of us took longer to come out of ignorance. And our job as parents is to make sure our children don't go down that same road. That they have a foundation of truth. As Yahusha said, a house built on a rock. That's what we should be doing with our children. So I'm extremely blessed that the Most High looked favorably upon my household in order to connect my child to her Ruach and really starting that thirst for understanding, that thirst for knowledge and wanting to know more and have the Ruach, they say the Ruach Chokma, which is the Ruach wisdom, so she can know how to navigate in this world. Because a lot of people come up to me and say, well, what do you, aren't you scared of how you're, you know, raising your daughter in this world? I said, not really. Because my daughter's foundation isn't in social media. It isn't in her phone. It's a foundation of scripture first. So, and when she looks at the outside world, she cringes at it because she knows it goes against her Ruach. Once it goes against Yahuwah, then it goes against my household and what I'm teaching her. So I don't have to worry about my daughter being in certain places where she don't belong because she will know. I don't have to worry about my daughter being assaulted by pedophiles and all that because she's protected. That's the reason why you as a father supposed to build your hedge so your hedge goes far beyond your household. It goes wherever your child goes. That Yahuwah's angels of protection are with them wherever they go. And the only way their hedge is going to be enlarged is if they have a foundation or a thirst for scripture. If you don't plant that seed, you're leaving them lost. You as a parent are causing them to be a stumbling block unto themselves. There's some lessons that we should have never had to learn. But we learned them because we were disobedient from birth. We were sinful from birth. So all the trauma that we've been through in our lives, were self-inflicted because we didn't have a foundation of truth. And this is why generational curses is so important. Because that ignorance comes from each generation of not having a foundation of truth. And Yahusha talks about the soil. That we, our generation of parents or forefathers came from rocky soil. And over time, depending on how smart or how dumb they are, the terrain either gets more rocky or it gets soft or becomes dirt or becomes plentiful. The rain starts to hit it. The sunshine starts to shine on it. That seed starts to blossom. And that's what most of you are. This is why most of you are here, because that seed has been planted and is being nourished by the Most High, for one. So I don't have a problem with my daughter going out in this world, because she'll have a foundation of truth. She'll know exactly how people are. And then I'm going to teach her emotional security. I'm going to teach her emotional maturity. So everything in my household is going amazingly. I really don't have no complaints, even with my new woman. Amazingly. Yeah, we had arguments and it was a time that we wanted to call it quits, but the Most High was like, no, I began this work in y'all, and I'm going to see it to the end. We pray for each other. We pray towards each other. We do the feast days together. We did the fast together. Everything has come. Everything that I prayed for and cried for is coming into fruition. And yes, there have been times that I've slipped and made mistakes and thought irrationally and impatiently because I wanted things the way I wanted them and I wanted them at my timing. But I keep forgetting it's not about my timing, it's about His timing. And all this is done for us to dwell in safety and peace. But if we force it, we're going to cause ourselves to slip and then make us a snare or a stumbling block into ourselves. And then we got to go back to groveling, going back to begging for repentance. And we should really be done with that. But I know things happen. You know, we're still coming out of this old school way of doing things where we answer every indiscretion with our flesh. That fallen seed is stuck in us. And all we can do is try to live above it and try to blot it out with praising and keeping the Most High first. Keeping Yahusha and His walk and His word first. Now, I mentioned so many times about what's going on in New York. I told you everything is going to be pointed in New York, and they're finding multiple ways to feast your eyes on what's going on in New York. Now, we've had this orange smoke or fog. We've had so many movies talking about the destruction of New York, either through a bomb, or an underground bomb, which floods the city. And you see what happened in China or Beijing, where a bridge was taken over by a flood because of heavy waters. And you got to understand by now that it's HARP and DARPA that are causing these torrential downpours. They've been doing it since Vietnam, even earlier than that, manipulating the weather. And that's all they're doing. They're just manipulating the water in order to cause floods. And then it makes a storyline or a narrative that you hear in your ear and you think it's normal, so you can go along with the climate change. So when it happens strategically in New York, you would not think the same way. You would not be awakened to what they actually are doing. You would be like, oh, okay, this is climate change. Or man, the weather is really acting up. But there's a reason why this Kai Cenat character, out of the blue, wanted to have a giveaway in the middle of New York or Manhattan. There is a reason for that. If you look by now, he shows all the symbolisms of being a Prince Hall or being affiliated with a Masonic society. You don't get 5.5 million followers on Instagram and then have millions of followers on Twitch streams playing video games if you are not controlled or managed. So having a PlayStation giveaway made the ignorant young generation, the fatherless, the motherless, the ignorant, the weak, the lame. It made everyone come, it made them come out in droves expecting free things, free stuff. Which caused a riot when it didn't happen. So all they like I said before, it's a social experiment. They don't know how you're going to react on certain things. So they throw these soft rituals at you just to see how you will react. And what they saw was black children jumping on cop cars, black children jumping on regular pedestrians and citizens' cars, stealing, snatching stuff. So like, okay, when it's time to really ramp this up, now we know the spirit of these individuals. They're all NPC characters. You don't know what the NPC is going to do unless you are making a code for it. It's just like Grand Theft Auto. You think people who develop video games, like Rockstar video games, don't pay attention to what humans do naturally in order to put it in a video game? Why do you think these NPC characters just walk down the street and if you bump into them, they start you start a fight with them? Or when shots go off, they just start running. Or if a car comes next to them, they just dive out the way. It's all imitating human behavior. So they start to mirror each other. So what you're seeing, which everybody calls, we're living in assimilation. No, you watching people really, their minds and their spirits being taken over by media so much that they're being coded for certain behaviors to come out when it's needed. So if it's a blackout happening or anything happening, they know exactly what these young children are going to do. They're going to take to the streets and going to riot. They're going to rob, steal. They're going to cause a commotion. You can't have order without the chaos. So this is just all them setting the stage. Now they're going to come back with something else at the perfect time, just so they see what they need to do. Because this guy didn't get arrested. He got put in the back of he got escorted. He got put in the back of a van or a police car and took off. And all you heard was from his representatives. He's not going, they say he's getting charged, but he's not going to be in jail. You see that whole Ryan Melly court trial get dismissed. Like you didn't think they were going to let this dude who's worth more out of jail than in jail. You think they're going to let a bag of money go to jail, a bag of ignorance and a psyop and a ritual to young black Americans? You think they're going to let that person sit in jail and not capitalize on that ignorance, on that ritual? That's not how this country works. That's not how this world works. These people do not take oaths to sit in jail. They don't take a vow of secrecy to sit in jail. All of this is to plague your mind, to make you believe that you are untouchable if you are a rapper, untouchable if you are an entertainer. So you're going to have the ambition of reaching that level of being untouchable. The same thing with Jamie Foxx. And I told you it's a ritual. And they're getting sloppy with these rituals. No way in the world this man comes from a stroke to all of a sudden, out of the blue, after they cloned Tyrone, and to say they killed Jesus. They killed this dude named Jesus. Fake friends, fake love. What are you talking about? It makes no sense why he said this at this given time. Makes no sense. And I showed you he's a Prince of Freemason. Freemasonry is connected to Judaism. Then Jennifer Aniston, the all-American white girl, speaks out. Why? Because they know once she speaks out, all of white America is going to pay attention. And all he said was they. So really, they told on themselves. So the people who worked tirelessly to create false flags and false shootings in their Hebrew schools, that they want you to hammer home that they are a race and not a religion now go by they and are offended at they. They are want to take credit for the killing of Jesus Christ. Now they want to go by a pronoun, which demons go by pronouns, we and they and us, as scripture states. They are showing you who Yahushua wrestled with in his day. They might not be the priests and the Pharisees and Sadducees of Herod, but it's almost the same exact thing. You could literally look at Roman emperors as like the spawns of the Antichrist. And in it wouldn't even more than 24 hours, this dude comes out with an apology to the Jewish community, which is the same thing Nick Cannon did, but it took longer. It's the same thing what Kanye did, and he went back on it. All these entertainers have been apologizing for saying something anti-Semitic, and it hasn't really been anti-Semitic. But they're all Prince Hall Freemasons or connected to Freemasonry. They want so badly to establish the ADL, which was created in order to protect a pedophile who blamed a black man for raping some white girl, some little white girl. That's how the ADL got its start. It started from a foundation of a lie. So everything to impose upon you the power and fear of the ADL and the Jewish community is to create these false flags and to create them with black Prince Hall Freemasons or the Divine Nine. This goes all the way back to Maccabees, where it states that out of Israel went wicked men who wanted to be amongst the heathen, that they wanted to do the will and rights and cut covenants with the heathen. We're just watching the book of Maccabees happening. But it's foolish. All these rituals are foolish. They're stupid. And people keep falling for them. Not as much as they used to, because now everybody's waking up to it. Everybody knows Yahushua comes from the seed of David, which is Yehuda, the tribe. Even people who ain't even opening scripture know this now. Because people have been talking about it. The truth is getting out. But they can't stop these rituals. They can't stop the symbolism. The Most High has these people tethered to their beliefs. So the more it goes on, the more you're going to see it. I don't even really need to talk about the numerology anymore, only the sophisticated parts of it. But you starting to see more sixes and 33s, them putting their hands in pyramids or their thumbs in pyramids. You seen they can't go a minute without showing you who they are. And if people truly choose to believe them, then you should know they are for the end. They are being preserved in their ignorance till the end. You are being preserved to have your ignorance last you until you see these plagues run upon your house. You're blessed to not ever have this understanding of waiting later to be awakened rather than preparing yourself now and awaken those around you to protect your household. But the financial crisis is coming too. There is a reason why they stayed that moratorium on student loan debt until September or the end of August. There's a reason for why they wanted to start these payments back up again. Because you having to pay student loan debt on top of holidays that they know people still participating in, then they're running their credit card debt up. Now, this lasts all the way to the next year, when they start again renegotiating the debt ceiling. So say if they stall out and they don't make a deal to keep the government going, because they keep coming down to the last day to sign these deals. One day or the next 2 years, they may not sign that deal. It's going to be, of course, an orchestrated or a ritual to start not coming to a conclusion about the debt ceiling and let it play out for 2 or 3 weeks with government shutdown. It could happen this year. It could happen next year. I mean, next year or the year after, it could happen. So student loan debt is going to pile up on some people, or most people, where that bubble is going to burst. And they've already been predicted programming that it's going to be the same as 2008. Except it won't be the housing market bubble. Guess what it will be? It will be the student loan bubble. So here's a stock tip, because I'm going to look a little bit deeper into this. But this is what I'm going to do with my stock tip. I'm going to bet against the student loan. Just like they shorted the mortgage bonds, and they started at B's and triple B's. That's what I'm going to do with the student loan debt. I'm going to look at the stocks, and because I know that people aren't going to pay that student loan. I know from higher inflation, I know from credit card debt and student loan debt, people aren't going to make payments. It won't even be about housing. Housing will be last. Because once you can't pay student loan and pay credit card, your credit goes down, people can't get housing. And that's what they want. They want you to be in a position where you can't afford housing. You have to afford 15-minute cities. So the housing market is going to be the last to go. But I believe the bubble is going to be student loan debt. So I'm going to bet against the student loan bond debt or defaults. I know it's going to default. Maybe I'm not going to be sinking thousands of dollars into it. Well, maybe I will. But I also don't want to overreach and do what Michael Burry did and had to carry it for a long period of time, the fact he was losing money before he made money. I'm not going to put myself at that risk. But I do want to see where that bubble goes. And I know it's going to burst. I know it's going to pop. With either within the next 12 months or until the next 24 months, I know that bubble is going to pop because they need it to pop. They need everyone to go into default with the student loan debt and credit card debt. So that drops you out of housing. Then you take to the streets. Then their eviction moratorium starts up again, just like it started up with COVID. That was one of the other reasons why COVID was such, you know, a ritual or a psyop on people, because they truly wanted to see how people would react if they lost their businesses. If you shut down for months and you didn't let businesses or small mom and pop businesses operate, they would lose their businesses, they would lose their housing, they would lose their ability to stand on their 2 feet, and they would become homeless. So you knew they weren't going to cancel student loan debt. I don't know why they even made that promise. Because they want this financial crisis to fall. So they keep writing checks to Ukraine. They keep double dipping themselves, saying that they're going to pay for all the destruction that's happened with these train derailments. They're going to take the kickbacks from that. This Build Back Better, it means write a check until the check bounces, until everybody reaches default. I think if you live wherever you live, wherever the real estate is good, if you're looking for a house to buy, I would hold off. I really would. I would hold off until it really becomes a buyer's market, when you start seeing foreclosures, because you know it's coming. You know 2008 was just a precursor to what's going to happen now, because they have to get to central bank and digital currency. And the only way to do that is to de-dollarize our currency. You have to hyperinflate it. You have to make it worthless. And people are like, oh, I'm going to turn to crypto. Even if you turn to crypto, you do not see them taking out all these CEOs and hedge fund crypto millionaires. You don't see them taking them out, sacrificing them, killing them to take over their coin. Because once they're in place, once these Freemasons get their hands on that crypto, they're going to crash it right after the dollar get crashed. They want to leave you no place to go but to them. So all your debt is going to go right into this FedNow or FedPayNow app, and you're going to put all your debt right in this app. So what you can get and what you can't get will be based on one app. So that's why I keep preaching to you, don't fool around with crypto trying to do a get rich money scheme. You still need to start teaching yourself how to budget. You still need to start teaching yourself how to be a little bit more smarter with your resources. But I'm going to see what that student loan bubble going to do, though. I'm really excited for that because I know it's going to default and I know it's going to bust. And I'm going to do exactly what Tom Carper is doing or has been doing, which is betting against the U.S. economy. They're going around telling you like, oh, it's solidified, it's strong. This is just a hiccup. But I'm telling you, I'm going to bet against it. Just like the movie Big Short, when he was talking about 10-1 into 20-1 odds, sneaking up in there. Yes, exactly what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I know I'm going to do it. There's resources I can be pointed to if the Most High sees fit to bless me with this little bit of understanding and knowledge. I'm going to take full advantage of it. So it's going to be a short episode, but I wanted to leave with Judith. And you know the story of Judith. If you don't know the story of Judith, I suggest you read it. But it's very telling of not just the nation of Yasharel, but for everyone who comes into this truth, what you need to do to be prosperous, especially in your work week. So keep this in mind while you get up and tend to your daily needs, trying to survive, trying to put food on the table, trying to bring love and encouragement to your household and those that you love. Keep this in mind. Chapter 5, verse 17, on down. And while they sin not before their Elohim, they prosper because the Elohim that hates iniquity was with them. But when they departed from the way which he appointed them, they were destroyed in many battles, very sore, and were led captives into a land that was not theirs. And the temple of their Elohim was cast to the ground, and their cities were taken by the enemies. But now are they returned to their Elohim, and are come up from the places where they were scattered, and have possessed Jerusalem, where their sanctuary is, and are seated in the hill country, for it was desolate. Now, therefore, my Adonai and governor, if there be any error against this people, and they sin against their Elohim, let us consider that this shall be their ruin, and let us go up, and we shall overcome them. But if there are no iniquity in their nation, let my Adonai now pass by, lest their Yahuwah defend them and their Elohim be for them, and we become a reproach before all the world. That is the bottom line when it comes to scripture. Those three or four verses sums up the entire Bible. If you do his will, his commandments, his feast days, you will prosper. And it won't be I'm gonna do it for one day and expect a reward the next day. It does not work that way. When the Most High sees your heart, understands your thoughts, he will make you prosper over time because he wants you to cleave unto him. He desires you to cleave to him. So think about this during your work week. Making sure you are not sinning. Making sure you are not negligent in sins. Making sure you're not becoming a stumbling block not only unto yourself, but to others. So your ways can prosper. If you do not, you get what you sow. If you sow vanity, you're going to reap vanity or the curse of vanity. If you sow in lies, you're going to reap lies. If you sow in discord and destruction, you're going to reap discord and destruction. This is why I make it a point in most of my posts to go at my enemies. That's why I make it a point to go at my enemies. I'm not some like some of these other brothers out here going against each other. Got to expose each other because you're fighting for who knows the most, who's correct with the most knowledge or facts. I've seen it happen. Brothers are weak for that. Because some of you guys listen to me, I have to answer questions of why I believe certain, believe so-and-so. So I got to defend why I believe so-and-so and also why I don't believe so-and-so. But I'm not out here trying to just, out here trying to bring down people's work, people's random work. I'm not trying to do that. That's not even my MO. My thing is to go at my enemies to cause them to meet me in the streets. This is the war I started. The Most High gave some of us a commandment that this is what we should be doing. So I'm not turning my head to the left, to the right, to go after other Israelite brothers for their work. Even if I think their work is wrong. I start leaving that stuff alone because I know brothers are sensitive and have not ever gotten attention for anything until it came to speaking this and teaching this word. But my commandment is to go at my enemies, to call them out of the dark. So they can meet me at my metaphorical Valley of Jehoshaphat. I'm trying to bring them down to the valley. As close as the Most High will allow me to get them there. That's why I'm always disgusted with Prince of Freemasonry and the Boule and these Divine Nine Greek female and male sororities. Forever disgusted. Those are my true enemies. I will not let up on those enemies, regardless if they're black. They took oaths, so the Most High gave them over to a what? Reprobate mind. You would think these people would repent with all this understanding and knowledge that's coming out, but they not. Some are, a very small population of them are, but they're just leaving the Greek society to go into to stay in Christianity. Then they have to fight to be exposed and then go from Christianity into the true word. I don't know why people want a relationship religion and not relationship with the Most High. I truly don't get it. I'm reading and telling you the same things that is found in scripture that these religions use, but people truly want to stay in religion because it's a doctrine of not being able to do any work. This is a doctrine of work. Why do you think the Most High said he has ordained husbandry? Husbandry is not only being a covering for your wife, but work. Either work in the field or work in your house or work with this word. It's work. We are supposed to be preoccupied with this work. And I know some of you have these long hours at these jobs, but you every day, it should be a fight for you to do something for the Most High more than you do something for this system. Nothing stops you from buying a nice bottle of wine and offering it to the Most High by pouring it in the grass. Thank you, Yahuwah. You've given me the money. You've given me the know-how, the knowledge and understanding to offer a bottle of wine to you or a glass to you. You allowed me to be prosperous under my own household in allowing me to offer this to you. A burnt offering. Take it outside to your deck. Burn it. Put it on a nice slab of wood. Burn it. Ascending smoke offering. Pray. Blow the shofar. Let the Most High know that you're thankful for being able to afford meat as an ascending smoke offering. And I'm telling you, he will bless you. I get blessed. When I do what I'm supposed to do, especially when I give alms, I don't even give that much. But once I give with a heart of wanting to take care of people who are struggling, I get repaid back. And I get repaid back more than what I give out. So I just keep giving. So it works. The Most High will not be made a liar. His word will not return in void. He stands by that. Religion doesn't stand by that word. The President of the United States doesn't stand by his word. The government doesn't stand by their word. Your pastors, your spiritual advisors, some of them don't stand by this word. That's why I never preach a religion. I preach relationship. You have to appease the Most High. And it doesn't take a whole lot to appease him. It really don't. He's not asking you to put on sackcloth, to go in town square and cast dust and dirt upon your head. He's asking for repentance and offerings, goodwill offerings, and to pay attention to the days of remembrance and his feast days. So you have till now, to the end of this month, give or take, to do a fast. This is where you can start in your own households a tradition that on a particular day in the first month, fourth month, seventh month, The first, fourth, fifth, seventh month that you can offer to the Most High your fasting and then have a feast. Drink wine, offer, it don't matter. It's on you, but have a good time doing it. Invite friends over. They won't even know what they're doing it for. But once they enjoy that camaraderie, they enjoy that environment, and you tell them, hey, we should do this the seventh month. They are cool. They'll come right over. And then once they come to you and say, why are you doing all this? Oh, show them scripture. This is why we should be doing it. If we want to be grafted in to Yasharel, this is what they do. So we should do it. Simple. I'll see you guys this week.